read.
This call is being recorded.
First sentence there. And my topic this morning would be no escape if you neglect so great salvation. No escape if you neglect so great salvation. Verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to give the more earnest heed, number one, to those to whom this letter was written. Those to whom this letter was written, number one, they must give the most earnest heed. And we too, number two, we that are hearers here today, the Bible says, lest this word should slip away. So then, if I don't heed what I hear, I am allowing the word to slip away. There is no doubt that God has been sending his word to the body of Christ time and time again in so many different forms, in so many different formats. But what have you and I been doing with the word when it comes? And that's the question this morning. What is our response to the spoken word from God that he sends to us? If we don't heed the word, we would definitely miss out, saints of God, on the opportunities that the word brings, or the word would have brought us by allowing it to slip away when we don't heed it. The lesson before us today is a letter that was written to Christians. These were believers who had come from a Jewish heritage. These were believers who had a Jewish background, and we understand that they had been converted from Judaism into Christianity. But because they were Hebrews that were brought up in Judaism, whenever they would hear the blowing of the shofar, and whenever they would pass by the temple, and whenever they would smell the incense, the memories, remember, these are Hebrews. That is their upbringing. Every time they would pass by, and these things would remind them of their traditions, and it would have a tendency to pull their minds and their hearts back to what they knew. So the writer of Hebrews, we believe, and we think it's Paul, went into great details in his teaching about the superiority that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had over angels. And a lot of that was done in Hebrews chapter 1. When you get time, you can look at that. Angels whom the Hebrews traditionally held in high regard. And they understood that if they broke the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai by the hand of angels, that there would be serious consequences to follow. So they knew this as Hebrews. But now they are coming over into Christianity. And the writer here has to, so here we see the writer's emphasis is to make the case that Jesus is superior to angels. Because they remember now all their lives, at whatever age they were, we can say someone is 40 and 50 and they came up hearing about what happened, what angels, what God did for their forefathers. And how much trust they put in angels. And now they have to be taught something all over again. But the writer of Hebrews, he takes his time and he emphasizes that Jesus Christ is superior over angels. And he now begins here in verse 1 of chapter 2 by saying, therefore. And the word therefore lets us know that something preceded it. And we're talking about chapter 1, when the emphasis was put on the superiority of Christ over angels. So it says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Those things we have discussed over in chapter 1, as the writer addresses these Hebrew Christians. He says, lest at any time we should let them slip. And this is what the NIV, this is how the NIV puts it. And we're going to dwell with the NIV for a little while. It says, we must pay the most careful attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Let me read the NIV into your hearing one more time. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. So it's calling on us to pay attention. And we know what that means. Pay attention to what? Pay attention to what we heard, so that we don't drift away. What the writer of Hebrews is trying to communicate to the reader is the hearing of the gospel, paying attention to the gospel, is of uttermost importance to you and I as believers. Saints of God, if we miss the importance of this message, or we miss the importance of any message whenever it is delivered, whenever it is brought to us, it means that the message missed the intended target. Listen to this very carefully. It missed not because the message was off course. Like sometimes the military would send out a missile and that missile has gone astray. The message has missed not because the message has gone astray, but because you and I, the hearer, we have drifted away. It is you or I who have allowed ourselves to go off course. And this is an important reminder to every believer. This is a warning, saints of God. It is given to us as a caution, this passage here, that drifting away from what we heard can be a very real possibility for the child of God. Are you hearing me this morning? This letter was written because of what was happening to those new believers. Remember I said they were now coming into Christendom, and every time they would hear the shofar, the sound of it, and they passed by the temple, they would be reminded of where they came from. And they had a tendency to want to go back under the law. And saints of God, that can happen to you and I if we don't pay attention to the word of God when it comes to us. We don't pay attention to the messages that we hear. We don't pay attention to when someone ministers. We are not focused. And the chapter starts by calling on Christians to, look what it says, give the more earnest heed to the things which we as Christians have heard. And the word translated earnest heed in the Greek is the word proseko, proseco, which means to be anchored, or to tie a ship or to tie a boat when it's in the harbor. So to anchor is to be fastened. Earnestly heed, we must be fastened to the word, because if that vessel is not anchored, it will drift. So then the writer is calling on us as believers to carefully anchor ourselves to the things we have heard. Are you hearing me this morning? Lest at any time we find ourselves drifting. I mean, just floating away. Just wandering off. And you know, this pandemic, as devastating as it has been, this pandemic, it has given us some great tools. Thank God for technology. This pandemic has given us some great tools, like we are utilizing right now this teleconference because of the pandemic. I mean, we might have gotten here, but not as fast as we did. So the teleconference line that we're on, it's a tool that came fast, came before us because of the pandemic. And we have platforms like Zoom and teleconference and Zoom and other platforms. We thank God for them because they have come at the right time to keep the Christian community together outside of the local church, outside of the building in this time of pandemic. But at the same time, how many know that the adversary, he looks for every opportunity? At the same time, it has presented areas for the adversary to exploit, and he certainly did. He came in and he has caused a drifting away of God's people. And we can tell, sometimes you are on the line and you can hear disturbance. Folks are tuned in to hear the word of God, but they are watching their favorite TV show. They're drifting. Folks tune in to hear the word of God, but you can hear them in conversation on another line. They are drifting. Folks are tuned in, but they're cooking and they're cleaning. You can hear it in the background. Folks are tuned in, but you hear snoring sometimes. Folks are dozing off, drifting. Sometimes even in the house of the Lord, believers are nodding off. And if that's you, I'm here to tell you that the word of God, it's missing you. When something is drifting, it means that thing is detached from its source or where it is supposed to be, where you are supposed to be. So when that which is intended for it or for you gets there and find that you or that thing is not there, it is no fault of what was sent to you, but it's the fault of what took up and went. Not what was sent, but is what took up and went. And in this case, what took up and went is what drifted. And that can be you drifting from the place you're supposed to be. That what was sent missed you because you weren't there. It was on target, but you moved. And we love to quote the scripture, Isaiah 55:11. And the minute I begin to read it, you're going to be familiar with it. It says, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Oh, we love to quote this. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. This is from God's end. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And we know it. We believe it. This is from God's end. But if the word does not accomplish what it was sent out to do, it is not from God's end that it didn't accomplish it. But it will be from our end. Why? Because you and I fail to heed the word that we heard. We might have heard it, but we were drifting, or we might not have been there. We failed to heed the thing which we should have received, that which was sent forth from the mouth of God. You see, when the word came, we were elsewhere. Maybe not in body, but sometimes even in body. We were watching TV, cleaning our houses, some of us napping. You see, being present in body does not mean the mind and the spirit is present. They can drift even in the house of the Lord, and you know what I'm talking about, and fail to let the word that is sent find root in your soul, find root in my soul. We then have become only hearers of the word, and we didn't soak in everything. Sometimes we nod in off when we get up, and sometimes people say amen because they heard the last expression from the preacher, but they didn't hear what he said, but they were napping and they say amen, and it's not appropriate. It doesn't line up with what the preacher said. How many of you have experienced that before? Because people are sometimes drifting away even in the house of the Lord. We often say that, you know, as a people, we are blessed to be living in a country where freedom of religion, it's allowed to be expressed and it's allowed to be practiced. Thank God for the USSA, you know. Yet there are believers who are lacking this fullness, this experience of Christ in their lives. Why? Because they fail to heed the word of God when they hear it. They hear it, yes, but they allow it to slip away. They hear, but they're not listening, saints of God. It is like you fetching water in a leaky vessel. It comes in and you begin to lose whatever is in that vessel. And I believe that I can safely say that most of us, you and I, we don't have to worry about falling into a sea or into a season of carnality. No, we don't have to worry about that because, there is some foundation within us. But at the same time, we are humans. So we don't have to worry about falling into a sea of carnality because most of us are not going to be tempted to become drug addicts. And most of us are not going to be tempted to become murderers. And this we can say as we look at this lesson here, as the writer of the Hebrews, he was talking to these Christians like us, Hebrews, with a religious tradition, with a religious heritage. And he says that the danger that they face, that face them, is not that they will plunge into a sea of carnality, but rather his concern for them was rather them drifting away and almost being unnoticed, something that happens gradually. You miss someone this Sunday and you see them next Sunday, and then you miss them for two Sundays, and then you see them one time in the following month, and you pick up the phone and you call them. You know, everything is okay. Yeah, I still love the Lord, but no substance, and they seem that their commitment is being seeped out of them. And like these Christian Hebrews in our lessons, in our lesson today, saints of God, we have heard the word. I have no doubt that we believe the word, but just perhaps, saints of God, the anchor that at one time was firmly rooted in the rock of scriptures, in the rock of the word of God, that anchor is no longer tied to our boat and keeps us anchored where we ought to be. Could it be that we have allowed life's circumstances to just come in? You know, it has a tendency, the old Sufi would come in, just creeping and alter our relationship with our Redeemer. Or could it be that we have allowed the winds and the storms of life to shake our anchor loose from the rock of our salvation? What can be, I thought about it. What can be the primary reason why folks like you and me, who we know we love the Lord, and every time the church doors are open, we are in church, and we have that spiritual heritage. We have the background, but sometimes we end up drifting. And I suggest to you, saints of God, it could be because of familiarity. We feel that we already know the scriptures, and that's where the trouble comes in. We might have we might have led a Bible study here or there. We might have been asked to do an exhortation. Or for some others, they might have gone to Bible college, or they might have a favorite preacher that they listen to, and they hold him or her in high esteem as one of the number one preachers in whether in your state or in the country or in the world, and you follow this particular person, so you believe that that you are getting all the word that you ought to get. So, saints of God, it's familiarity, and that's the problem. I believe you and me becoming too comfortable in Zion. But the writer says this, he says in verse 2, he says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and he says, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The NIV says, received is just punishment for disobedience. He says, how much more? And that's our topic. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we, if you and I neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the angels? I know I got your attention there if you're following the scriptures. It wasn't spoken by the angels. Let me read it and read exactly what it says. And this is a critical part. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, that heard the Lord? So this morning, saints of God, I'm saying to you, the word was spoken first by the Lord himself, not by angels. So as I'm saying to you this morning, if you have drifted away, or if you feel out of place, drifted away from reading the word of God, drifted away from prayer, drifted away from attending church or anything else, verse 3 is saying, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation which came from the Lord himself? You see, when the word of God goes forth, its purpose is not to kind of medicate your appetite for a quick fix. You know, sometimes folks come into church and they're looking for a quick fix. They're looking for a sign and a wonder. They're looking for something to happen. The word is not designed to massage you into your moment, into why you showed up here. But its purpose, the word's purpose, saints of God, is to be long-lasting. The word's purpose in your life is to be eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall remain forever. You have to be careful when your high point, or when the high point of a service for you, is no longer the meat of the word. We have to be careful when we don't look forward for the meat of the word. But sometimes our high point is the devotion and wanting a particular person to sing a particular song, or we are looking for some part in the service when someone is going to fall out, or someone is going to lay hands on an individual. If that is your high point, you are drifting. Only the word lasts. Only the word holds. Only the word will sustain you, and only the word, saints of God, will keep us. And that is why the scripture says here, coming down, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. We ought to seriously pay close attention to those things and let them apply them to our lives. Apply these principles that will keep our walk with the Lord fresh, our saints of God, and keep our walk with him intimate, keep our walk with him real. Saints of God, your Christian walk will take work. You have to work at it. Don't let complacency come in and hijack your relationship with God, your walk with God. And if it comes in, it will take it away from you, and it will drift you. You know, if you think about it, all it takes for someone, all it takes for you and I to drift is simply for us to do nothing. We do nothing, we are going to drift. So our Christian experience, we must work at it. It is like someone not taking care of their lawn or their garden. Can you imagine what would happen to your lawn or to your garden if you stop watering it, and if you stop pulling out those weeds? It would return to its original dry state, infested with weeds. And picture the soul of a man before he came to Christ, before coming in contact with the word and heeding the word. It would be a soul that is in a dry place, infested not with weeds as a garden, but infested with sin. S-I-N. I'm going to read just two more passages into your hearing, and we're going to come down. Christ says in his sermon in Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he says, I will liken him unto a wise man which build his house upon a rock. You see, when you hear the word of God and you act upon that word as directed by the Holy Spirit, what you are doing is that you are being obedient by heeding the word of God. Verse 25 of Matthew 7 says, it says the rain came down, and the rain came down, the streams were filled, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it was rooted and built upon a rock. And we know that rock, when we apply it to our life, that rock is Christ Jesus. So you and I were able to stand because the foundation, saints of God, it is secure. We are upon that solid rock. And let me read this last passage here in the book of Luke. And listen to what Christ says in Luke chapter 12, just two verses, 47 and verse 48 of Luke chapter 12. 47 says, "And that servant which knew his Lord," and how does someone know their Lord? You hear what your Lord is saying. You hear when he speaks, you see him and you receive him. It says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will." That's how you know your Lord's will, because you have heard it. "That servant that knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself or herself." In other words, you didn't earnestly heed what you heard. "Neither," continue the verse, "neither did according to his will," to the Lord's will. In other words, you neglected what you heard and you made it leak out of you. You paid no attention to what your Lord said. And because you've done that, look how the verse ends. "You shall be beaten with many stripes." So let me read the verse again. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Verse 48. "But he that knew not," we think that he that knew not is going to get off. But listen to this. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." He's not going to get up because he knew that, but he did some wrong. He says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him or of her shall be much required. And to whom men shall, whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God will judge us according to what we have heard and received, but everyone will be judged for not heeding the word. Salvation is not offered to us by angels, saints of God, but it is offered to us by the Lord himself. I think I said one last scripture, but I believe I have one more here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye hear his voice," verse 8 says, "harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness." And we often look at this verse and we apply it to the unbeliever. But this book was written, as we started off, this book was written to Jewish Christians who were wavering in their faith, having a tendency to go back. And that is where we sometimes find ourselves. It is to be applied to the believer today as well as the unbeliever. As the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, today if you will heed his voice, harden not your heart, saints of God. Harden. Don't become stubborn. Don't become rebellious. Has God been speaking to you this morning? I mean, have you heard him? Are you paying attention to what God has been saying to you? What has he told you recently or even in times past? Are you believing him for what he has spoken into your life? What has he said and that thing has not come to pass? Don't give up on it. You allow that word. Don't allow that word to slip away. Hold on. Oh, if you know it came from God, hold on. I'm here to encourage you and here to encourage myself, saints of God, to heed to the word of God. If you have received a word from God, heed the word. Saints of God, the penalty is too great to allow this precious word that is coming from the Lord himself, when he sends it your way, for you to ignore it, for you to let it slip away. There will be a penalty if we reject the word of God. And I'm here to encourage you, saints of God, if the church has gotten a word and has not heeded it, woe unto us all. Believers, sometimes we say that nothing is happening at the assembly that I go, and then that's because, you know, sometimes we ourselves, we don't get involved. And how would you know if you're not involved? How do you know if you're not sitting at the feet of Christ, that God has a word for you as an individual, that God has a word for you as a people? God don't want you just to come into his house looking for a quick fix, looking for something spectacular to happen, for you to leave and say, oh, church was good, this is what happened. God brings you into this house. God brings you into a meeting such as this, and he exposes you to his word, that when you hear it, you don't let what you have heard disappear. You heed it. You hold on to that word. The verse that we read our lesson from, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect the word that we hear or that we heard from time to time? Saints of God, the word is precious. Hold on to God's word when you hear it. You know, we never like to close our service without making an altar call. So if you have joined us today and you have heard the word of God from time to time and you have not allowed that word to resonate in your heart, I want you to give you this opportunity right now to receive this word of God. This word that's going to transform. This word that's going to turn your life around. And if you are that individual, just by offering a simple prayer, just by acknowledging that this is the word of the Lord, God knows your heart. So repeat this prayer after me. It says, Lord Jesus, I confess all my sins. Forgive me, God, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Accept me into your service. With my mouth, I confess. And with my heart, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you said that prayer, God heard you. And I'm saying to you, welcome to the family of God. God bless you. God bless you. Stay on. We are going to go into our communion service, and at the end of that, there will be some information how you can get in contact with us. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Baxter, for those very encouraging words, and I would also say those very challenging words. You have reminded us that even as Christians, there is a tendency to drift, and so you encouraged us to stay anchored, stay focused on God's word. We give God thanks for you and for his word. May God continue to bless you. Family.